You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number three on a Friday afternoon. The local, the state, the national, we cover down on all of it. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So just real quickly, I'll tell you, Jeff from Indiana just texted in and says, I'm ranked 103. Looks like I got a lot of company, though, he says. Glenn from Bluntsville says, Gonzaga sounds like a cheese, Gorgonzola. I've always thought that, too, like Gorgonzola cheese. I get it. What else? David from Huntsville is rooting for an Iron Bowl championship, but wasn't sure if Auburn would do it. Well, you just hold on. Wendy from Huntsville says, I joined the bracket through the link you sent to my cell phone, but I hit the link below. I can't go to it. Wendy, I don't know what to do to help you, so I'm going to let Boomer take that one and see if he can give you some advice. I am not the tech man. That is for sure. Boomer laughs when I talk about which button to push next. But, all right, hey, by the way, I got to tell you guys, one of our newest sponsors is the Elm Foundation, E-L-M, Elm Foundation. And the Elm Foundation, Elm stands for, by the way, Expect Little Miracles. The Elm Foundation, they have a goal of helping people find their way to a better stage in life. I mean, they're out there right now making a difference in the lives of people, and they're not doing government programs where you throw money at it. They're a 501c3 that is literally working hard to do things to bring people into a place where they can, you know, find employment, get off the streets, find the counseling they might need, and work with them, and also, by the way, partnering with others in the community to help bring all this together. And Elm Foundation is making a difference. Let me just tell you. You need to check them out. Their website is ElmHSV, because they're in Huntsville, like Elm Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. And I love the fact they're a 501. When they raise money, all of their operating costs are already taken care of before they raise money. They have a benefactor that makes sure the operating costs stay paid for, so whatever dime they raise to do things with is all geared to their programming. So check them out, Elm Foundation at ElmHSV.org. All right, let me jump into this next section, the Triple Dipper, fighting back. So sometimes when I'm doing my resourcing for the show early in the morning, I'm finding articles and I'm going, oh, look at how woke that is, or look at what the liberals did over here, or hey, conservatives stood up over there, or whatever. But every once in a while, after having, you know, harped on a few topics here, there, and the other, I then find those topics in a different context where it looks like conservatives are actually fighting back. And I love it when that happens. So right now I got a series of articles in that same vein. I am stoked about this. Some of this stuff is happening and it should happen like right now. So number two of the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it fighting back. And you know, I get frustrated with the Ivy administration here in Alabama. I get frustrated with our governor. I feel like she's not doing enough in certain ways, but when I see something done right, I'll call that out too. And so I got a story here from 1819 News. 1819 News, Governor Ivy has joined Governor DeSantis in a fight against Biden over ESG and retirement funds and signs a joint statement vowing to leverage the state pension against woke investing. This is awesome. So if you're not familiar, ESG, environmental social governance, it's the liberal woke trend that has taken over our banking, much of corporate America, and our insurance world and investment portfolios. And it's a mess. ESG says, basically, we're not going to maximize profits anymore. We're going to worry more about what kind of things you've done for the environment or green energy policies or social, might be the LGBTQ agendas and Black Lives Matter and all that, and governance. Are you trying to pass voter ID laws? Well, that's not good. Well, that's not the role of corporations. That's not the role of investment managers. So you actually have right now, you have people managing investment portfolios, and they're doing it based upon ESG criteria and not upon trying to maximize a return for the people whose investments they're holding. And that's wrong. What's interesting is It's not just the individual mom and pops who have a 401k. It's not just the folks who've been trying to put in a little bit into their own retirement. It's actually also state retirement plans. You have entire state retirement plans for all your teachers and public employees because those are huge plans. Those are multi-billion dollar plans. And you have those plans that are in part managed by organizations that have been using ESG criteria. Well, that's our taxpayer dollars. You know, if somebody wants to say, you know, I think I want to use some ESG criteria in my 401k. I'm only going to look for those companies that support the environment. Okay, good luck with that. You might not get a big return, but that's an individual choice. However, when you're managing a state retirement plan, you're using our taxpayer dollars, and you're taking the issues related to our tax, or excuse me, our public employees, and doing less than what it could to do to maximize their return. That can't happen. Okay, so having given all that background now, in the fighting back section, Governor Kay Ivey joined Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and 17 other states. So literally, you're looking at, what, is that 40% or so of our states, to oppose President Joe Biden's efforts to keep environmental, social, and governance, ESG, investing out of employee pension plans. This is a big deal. Because when you've got that much, when you've got states, 17, well, that'd be 19 states total. When you got 19 states saying you will not touch our retirement plans, that's a huge amount of financial leverage. You just told organizations that want to handle, they make their living off of handling your portfolios, and now they can't? Okay, we won't do it anymore, we promise. Anyway, the Republican-dominated U.S. House of Representatives voted on February 28th, just what, 3 weeks ago, to pass a bill prohibiting the use of ESG investing in Employment, Retirement, and Security Act, government, so basically government plans, federal plans. Biden has subsequently promised to veto that rule. By the way, Biden's Department of Labor issued an ESG statement saying, we will do ESG. No, we will not do ESG in Alabama, Florida, Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, and all the other states that are saying no. So I'm loving the fact that they did this. So the other article I've got on this topic, though, came from Daily Wire. That was an 18-19 news. By the way, I said it earlier in the show, but new thing on Right Side Radio here, you can go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and on the tab that says live stream, you can watch the show, you can listen to the show, you can also, there's a button that says click resources, and every dipper, all the documents that I rattle, they're all linked on there. You can go get a copy yourself if you want to read it. All right. But the other piece of this is, how are they going to do this? What is it the governors are going to do? Well, besides protesting, a piece on the Daily Wire here says there's two ways they're going to do this. Number one, they're protecting taxpayers from ESG influences across state systems. This could be things like, blocking ESG investment decisions at state and local level, you know, ensuring that other financial factors are considered to maximize the return on investment, go figure, protecting retirees. It could also eliminate state and local governments issuing bonds that use ESG factors. All right, that's one. The other is protecting citizens from ESG influences in the financial sector. So what you don't want to see is suddenly the banks start using these things called social credit scores. No, use your regular credit score. You don't look and see whether or not that small business that needs a loan did enough for green energy policies and planted a tree. You don't look and see whether or not, well, they did give to Black Lives Matter, so let's give them the loan. That can't happen. So, yeah, this is big doings, and I'm glad to see we're fighting back on it. I'm going to take the break right now a couple of minutes early, and then I'm going to come right back, and I'm going to jump into what happened at that hearing just in the last couple of days. What did that guy from the Border Patrol say about the Biden administration's policies? Oh, it was good. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right and bad to the bone. How about that? I like it. Boomers, it's got all the new bumps in. Man, we're just smoking. All right, what do we got here in the text line? Anything new we need to jump in on? John from Huntsville did say, Phil, I like your chances to win the right side bracket because when Alabama loses in the next round, that will knock out the championship team that more than 100 right side ruffians picked. He said, also, I think Auburn's going to beat Houston because Houston has an important injured player. John from Huntsville is digging deep on this stuff, man. I'm just saying. What do you think? Is
digging deep.
I mean, you're a Bama fan. Are you gonna go with that? Or are you gonna like blow that off?
Oh, I'm just gonna blow it off. That's fine.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. So Kenneth from Somerville just texted in. He said, forget about all this bank collapse stuff. I rolled up to the Dollar General yesterday and apparently there'd been a run on sweet tea. This is getting serious, y'all.
No, that's funny.
That is funny. You got to have a little humor in here somewhere. All right, number two of the Triple Dipper is called Fighting Back. So let me tell you, I love this. I love it when someone is willing to speak truth to power, and especially when they do it knowing full well there could be consequences. So story here from Fox News, dated today. Homeland Republicans turn up the heat on Mayorkas after the Border Patrol chief's earth-shattering testimony. So if you did not hear this, the Border Patrol chief, Raul Ortiz, he is taking no prisoners. I mean, he was asked to come and testify in front of the House committee, and he did not pull punches, man. He did not pull punches, and you know what? He did it knowing full well he's criticizing his boss. So, yeah, Ortiz had been the main witness at the committee's field hearing. They moved their hearing, by the way, down to McAllen, Texas, which I love. I went to Reynosa, Mexico, once on a mission trip, and we had to go through McAllen's right on the other side of the border. McAllen, Texas, right there on the border. So House Republicans moved their border hearing down there, making the point that we're not only talking about it in D.C., we're coming to you. And they did. Democrats boycotted it. That's just so lame. Now, if you want to say, I have a conflict and I can't fly down there for a hearing, I get it. But no, making a political statement, we will not attend a hearing on the southern border, that's just like saying, we just don't want to be caught down the southern border and have pictures taken with us down there. So Ortiz, though, Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, he had been the main witness at the committee's hearing in McAllen, Texas, Wednesday. And he bucked the administration in a big way, y'all. I'm not kidding. Fighting back. Says Ortiz told lawmakers he disagreed with President Biden's call to stop wall construction. He said there were policies in place that were holding agents back from doing their job, and he backed agents who had falsely been accused of whipping Haitian migrants, the horseback guys, last year. But the takeaway, the real takeaway for lawmakers, was Ortiz's statement that the U.S. does not have operational control of the border, directly contradicting what his boss, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, had said. So this is like an atom bomb right here. This is like a battalion commander going and testifying against the Secretary of Defense. I mean, it's that big. So Raul Ortiz, I mean, we'll see. Is Biden going to lash out at him? Is he going to get heavy punitive action against his career? Is he going to be fired? I don't know. But he literally went down there and he said, we do not have control of the border. And he laid it out real clear. He said, in five of the nine southwest border sectors, we have seen an increase in flow, and that has caused a considerable strain on our resources. It has really forced the Border Patrol to move agents around and even migrants to some of the other areas. Well, Congressman Mark Green from Tennessee, he said he knew that Ortiz was going to come in and would shoot straight and be honest, and he was. And they say that Mayorkas is now probably going to be called in to give testimony. Mark Green says, we want to get all the sector chiefs in, but certainly the five that are struggling with overflow. And then at some point, Secretary Mayorkas is going to have to come and answer some questions. One of the other congressmen, Republican Representative August Pfluger, who's from Texas, he says, Chief Ortiz is to be commended for walking a fine line, as one of my other colleagues said, of being respectful of the political hierarchy, but also telling the truth and saying enough's enough. I am saying. And by the way, if you don't think that is going to be a soundbite in the next election cycle. You hadn't been watching the way this works. All right, here's another one I got. Fighting back. Loving this. Loving this. So you got corporations out there that are saying, well, if your state won't let you have gender transition surgeries for your minors, then we'll pay to fly you to another state and have your surgeries. That's just awful. But one Florida lawmaker has a bill. Story off Fox News dated today. Florida lawmaker is pushing to make woke employers responsible for detransitions. And even President Biden is calling them out, and they don't care. Says a Florida lawmaker who's pushing for some employers to have to foot the bill for gender detransitions fired back at Joe Biden after the president criticized Florida's policies about children with gender dysphoria. Last year, Florida implemented measures banning puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries for children with gender dysphoria and classroom instruction on gender identity. Biden has called those policies cruel. He even called them close to sinful. What does that mean, close to sinful? If you're just close to sinful, you're not sinful. Am I right, Boomer? I mean, help me out here.
Oh, come on.
If you're close to sinful.
If you're just close, then you're not sinful.
Yeah. And by the way, can you be a little bit sinful?
I think it's you're sinful or not.
That's the last I heard.
I don't think there's a in between.
So close to sinful, says Joe Biden.
Ugh.
Not allowing them to mutilate a child is close to sinful. Anyway, this representative said, it amazes me that he is advocating for children that cannot even go into an R-rated movie without an adult to make forever life-altering decisions they may never be able to reverse. And so Florida's looking out for their children. So basically what they're saying in this bill, if you're one of those companies that paid to send your employer and their child to another state so they could get a gender transition surgery or treatments, that, hey, company, by the way, you need to pay to send them where they need to go to get a detransition when they decide, oh, my gosh, I made a mistake. And, by the way, if you didn't hear my monologue at the beginning of the show, I encourage you to go back and get it off our podcast because I dealt with all of this. I dealt with what one pastor called of all this, it's a pandemic of identity. And I thought that was a great term. And, yeah, it was a great sermon, but it's really sparked me having a monologue today about the need for us to stop pretending that kids can make these decisions. It's the adults doing it to them. Kids are not even allowed, like this one lady said, this Florida State Senator said, they can't even go to an R-rated movie without an adult with them, but we're going to let them be a participant, so to speak, in changing their life? That's not right. That's wrong. That's child abuse. And so, yeah, I love the fact that we're pushing back. I love the fact she called out the president. And then I love the fact that she also said, and oh, by the way, I got a bill. Yeah. How you like me now? All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, heading into the final hour on a Friday afternoon. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about we go way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, by the way, I gotta just pause and tell you, I hope you heard the interview with Andrew Ford, president of ZLA Solutions, here in the studio the other day. Because when I needed somebody to talk about hiring practices and the state unemployment and the labor participation rate, that kind of stuff, who do I go to? Of course I go to them. I know them personally, easy fit, but they've also been sponsoring the show too for the last year and a half. And they are doing an epic good job at getting people and jobs put together. So if you're looking for a job, if you are looking for a job and you want to just sort of scan through what's available, ZLA Solutions on their website, ZLAUSA.com, they've got great jobs posted right now all over North Alabama and neighboring states. If you are, by the way, looking as an employer to fill out the ranks of your workforce, they can help you with that. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, I always say. And yeah, they can square you away. That's their bread and butter, man. They do a lot of things for businesses, but their true bread and butter is still staffing. Direct hire or temp, it doesn't matter. So check them out, ZLA Solutions. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's www.ZLAUSA.com. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, which I get a kick out of the fact they get that all the time. Boomer, I saw you looking at the bracket like something good happened. What's going on?
I don't know if it's good. I'm just watching the bracket. I'm looking at all the games. We got NC State, Creighton. Creighton's winning. So
NC State is losing to Creighton?
Yeah. Well, Creighton's ranked higher, so we'll see. 6 minutes left of the game.
Where exactly is Creighton? UConn? Where is Creighton?
Oh boy, I don't know.
Is that a Creighton University? Is that Creighton College? Is that Creighton Middle School? What is that?
Oh, well, now you're asking me these questions. I don't know all these teams.
Okay.
I guess, huh?
Gonzaga. I don't even know where Gonzaga is. You know where Gonzaga is? I don't know where Gonzaga is. But Gonzaga's like in the tournament like every year. They are a basketball school.
Pitt and Iowa State are in the second half, and Iowa State is losing to Pitt.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what it looks like.
That's okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I suspect that by Monday, the brackets will be all moved around.
Yeah, it will be. They'll be all over the place.
I'll be coming in. I was feeling pretty saucy on Friday, and then came in on Monday. I was like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't like your bracket. all right. Hey, let's move forward a little bit. You know what, Boomer? I'm going to end the week on a double dipper. I'm making an executive decision.
All right. End it on that double dipper.
I love the fact, I think it was JT from Lacey Springs the other day, said, don't do speed dippers. And I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb.
You should not do a dipper like scoot through a goose.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No. Shoot. Oof. Anyway, hey, listen, back on this dipper. And by the way, part of that programming issue is that I was able to get a last-minute discussion on the air with State Senator Garland Gudger, so it pushed things back. So before John gives me an A-minus for the day, John from Huntsville always grades us. Before John gives me an A-minus for the day, John, just know that I added a state senator interview, and that's what moved things. But anyway, nonetheless, still in number two, fighting back. Here's one. Breitbart apparently had an exclusive extended interview with Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy, and they went through the issues, and one of the main things that came out of it was Speaker McCarthy is saying there will be, in his words, he said, in no uncertain terms, the House of Representatives, while he is Speaker, will not pass a clean debt ceiling hike without spending cuts, and that the House will not raise taxes. All right, what does that mean? So we're looking at a deadline right now. In order to meet the obligations, the things that we said we'd spend money on, the debt limit is going to be exceeded. Well, if we don't raise our debt limit and say that we'll buy more bonds and take out more debt and all that kind of stuff, if we won't incur more national debt, then we could default on some of our existing debt. So the panic begins to set in. Oh God! Oh, we gotta do it. Well, what's going to wind up happening? I feel certain is that you're going to see an increase in the national debt, and I hate it, but it's going to happen because the idea of us defaulting is just not a good plan. But because it'll throw world markets into disarray. And I'm not for this. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. But what is going to happen and what Biden wants, Biden just wants them to raise the debt limit and move on. Nothing to see here. Just the credit card's got more limit on it now. No, not a good plan. What needs to happen is they have to mandate that, you know, hey, Mr. President, you know what? We're stuck with this. We're going to wind up raising the debt limit eventually. But in the meantime, we're going to cut spending. So if you want more debt, just understand this. We're not going to keep giving you new checks to write. So Kevin McCarthy says, in no uncertain terms, the House of Representatives this year will not pass a clean debt ceiling hike, meaning we will add spending cuts, and he'll have to lump it. He also says the House will not raise taxes, which Biden says he wants to raise taxes in a big, big way. McCarthy's comments, he says, one thing I firmly believe, we are not going to raise taxes. We're not going to pass a clean debt ceiling. I told the president we have to spend less money. McCarthy said that without serious reforms, spending to discretionary spending, the U.S. could be on the brink of serious financial calamity. And the article points out, by the way, he made those comments before the banking crisis last Friday when SVB Bank collapsed and Signature Bank collapsed over the weekend. So while McCarthy makes it clear, though, that he wants serious cuts, it has also made it clear they're not going to cut Medicare and they're not going to cut Social Security. And they have to say that because otherwise Biden will accuse them of it, like he tried to do during the State of the Union address. McCarthy also pointed to savings that Americans can achieve if we'll just do things like secure the border and push for energy independence. So, you know, we didn't get the Republican wave that we thought we might get in the last election cycle, the 2022 midterms. But what we did get, at the very least, is some leverage. We got a narrow majority in the House, but it's enough to put a Republican speaker and get Nancy Pelosi out of the seat. And he's able to say things like, no, we're not doing your clean debt ceiling hike. Stop asking. And I'm glad of it. All right, pushing back. One more. Oh, wait. We got a text from Brandy from Athens, who apparently really knows basketball because she's like number one in the bracket right now, isn't she? Yes. Isn't that Brandy? Brandy. That's Badger's babe, he said. Brandy from Athens says, Creighton is in Nebraska, I believe. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Gonzaga, Washington State.
Washington, Mark from Athens says Gonzaga's in. All the Athens people know basketball, apparently.
Yeah.
Everybody in Athens knows basketball. All God's children in Athens know basketball. What else we got here? Anything else? Okay, that's clear of that. One more in the storyline from Fighting Back. And especially you veterans out there, this should make you mad. You know, everybody in the military has got everything in the world about them, more so than most employers in the world, has got all their information, their DNA samples, the whole thing, in their personnel files, their PERMs. Their PERMs have got everything in it. It's not there for, you know, public consumption. That's protected. It's protected under HIPAA. It's protected under a variety of other confidentiality issues. It's just wrong to access it. And yet what we're finding right now is somehow Democrat activists were able to access Air Force personnel files, but only on key Republicans. Really? So the Weaponization Committee, you know, we have a new committee in D.C. that's going to be investigating the weaponization of government. Well, one of the Weaponization Committee probes is into a recent Air Force leak. It says the unauthorized disclosure of U.S. military personnel records by the Air Force to an opposition firm funded by Democrats is now under investigation by the House Weaponization. I am loving this. It says the House Judiciary Committee and its select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government are investigating the mass collection and dissemination of information about American citizens by federal agencies. At issue, here we go, you ready? Revelation starting last fall when Politico, this is just so sleazy. I mean, this is like, there's layers of sleaze here. But the sleaze goes into, basically there was an Indiana GOP House candidate named Jennifer Ruth Green. She was an Air Force veteran who had made allegations about sexual assault during her time in the Air Force. That's a confidential file. Somehow or another, Politico got hold of it. How can that be? The only way it can be is for someone to have gotten hold of her military personnel file. An Air Force audit, though, then went on to find out there was an unauthorized release of military information on 11 individuals, two of whom were Republican members of Congress. What are the odds of that? Two of the members of the Congress, Representatives Don Bacon and Zach Nunn, both one from Nebraska, one from Iowa, divulged that their records were among those leaked. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, who is also an Air Force veteran from Florida, said she has reason, and a Republican, reason to believe her records were also leaked because she got a notification on this from Major General Troy Dunn, who said that there was inappropriate requests for copies of your military personnel records. Wow. you look at this and you think, what in God's name? Then you realize, oh, they traced it. So far, what we know is the records were released, which is wrong. The records were requested by an organization that received $110,000 from the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. Oh, really? So, yeah, the Weaponization of Government Committee is investigating this, and, well, they should. I got a call real quick. I'll take it before I go to the break. I got about 2 or 3 minutes for the break. Is that Kareem? Kareem from Athens. How you doing, buddy?
That's Huntsville there, Phil. How you doing?
I thought so. He wrote Athens on the board. How you doing, Kareem?
I'm good. Let me tell you something, because, you know, I listen to you guys all day. I listen to you. I listen to Yaffe. I listen to Dell. Now, Yaffe was talking about the same thing you were talking about, the border and the labor participation rate, how the Mexicans come and they do the jobs that Americans won't do. Well, I'm in construction myself.
Okay.
And basically, like, right around me right now, and all I see doing all the renovations right now, and these are all Mexicans.
Okay.
You know, these are all Mexicans. So my thing is, when she want to spend $300 million on prisons, instead of, can you imagine if she was to build a $300 million school to where they teach stuff like drywall, paint, HVAC, electric, stuff like that, plumbing, to where they can actually employ these kids, but she would rather build prisons. It's like, build them, they will come, don't worry about it, the Mexicans will replace them.
Well, okay.
You understand? Right. So how are we going to make it as a country doing that?
All right, I got a couple of things to say on that. Number one, the prison got more expensive because apparently overnight they determined that it's going to cost twice as much, which I take issue with, by the way. But we're under some federal court orders. I mean, like, we're being sued by the federal government that we have to do some things different with our prisons, which is going to require us to build prisons whether we like it or not. So I ain't a big fan of spending $1 billion on prisons. But I do know this, we're going to continue to get sued. And the last thing we need is what the government did to California back in like 2012. They went in and said, okay, if you're not going to build new prisons, we're going to mandate that you release prisoners right now. And they did. They turned out thousands of prisoners into the streets, and that's just not a good plan.
But listen, it's like the kids have no chance. We're not teaching them anything. They go to regular school, they get their little math reading, they might get skate through, get a high school diploma, and they're coming out. These guys that's coming for jobs, they don't know how to put in the light bulb, change the toilet seat.
So
they don't know how to hang the light fixture.
So let me tell you something we did, though, and I agree. By the way, so I'm glad to hear you're in the trades. I didn't know that. So here's the thing. One of the bills, when I was in the Senate, I was a sponsor of the dual enrollment bill. You can be a high school kid in a Alabama high school, and you can also enroll in the two-year college system, the community college tech system, and you can graduate from high school and get your tech degree at the same time and go right into the trades and get
work
done.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because my son just did that. He's at Toyota right now.
Did he really?
He's making good money. He graduated like 2 years ago. But all of my sons, I think they're going to be fine because they got me. But I'm talking about the ones who don't, you know, I'm talking about the ones who just don't have it, don't have the father, don't have nobody who's going to be over them telling them the way that they should go. It's as if they just said, okay, we're going to build these prisons and we're going to let them come. It's like the trap. And this is part of being woke. It's like the trap. This is the trap. Same thing from the 90s. You know, right now, kids, they don't have a record, whatever. They can walk into a store and buy a fully automatic weapon. You're given a semi-automatic weapon.
Yeah.
You're given a semi-automatic to an 18-year-old. You know they're going to use it.
Okay,
and
but
now you're building prisons to house them.
But
at the same time, you let all the Mexicans come and replace them and do their jobs.
Brother, you just took like three issues and conflated them together. I'm not sure how to sort out your Mexican angst and do the tech school
and the
prisons all at the same time.
Every job these Mexicans is doing right now could be done by young Americans, black and white, right now. That's out here. They could be done there. But if they had the training, they can do it.
Well, I agree with that.
They don't have the training.
I agree with that, but that's got nothing to do with building. We got to build the prisons, though. I mean, the prisons are separate. You can't say don't build the prison because we need to have tech school. You can't do that.
No,
we don't.
You had on your show the one that actually helped prisoners when they get out, when they finish their sentence. They actually helped them, you know, do that. And she was doing something like that before they got there. That's the whole point, is to cut it off before it happens.
Hey, Kareem, appreciate you, man, but I ran way long. I even missed my usual break time,
know,
and Boomer's giving me
man.
The high sign.
You guys
all right.
Have a nice weekend.
You too, bud. We'll see you.
It's ridiculous.
See ya. All right. I like it when Kareem calls. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back for a very brief moment.